Hi, this is Richard K. Allison, your host for Sunday Night. And this evening, we bring you an encore performance of a previous Sunday Night broadcast. If you've never listened to Sunday Night before, I know you'll enjoy it. You'll hear music, drama, humor. You'll laugh. You'll cry. I bet you'll even say amen once or twice. So sit back and enjoy an encore performance of Sunday Night.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world.
Those familiar strains mean it's time for another Sunday Night. I'm your host, Richard K. Allison, and tonight is Political Action Night on Sunday Night. All the regulars are here and ready to run. Jeffrey S. Miller and his refreshment committee, Michael Pierce Donnelly and the New American Standard Band and singers, and our special guests, all nominated, funded, and ready to start the race. Southern Gospel Quartet, Steadfast, Amalgamated Folk Jazz Trio, Sojourner, and the incomparable Brooke Berry. So burn your newspaper, blow up your TV, gather around the family boombox, and get ready for something different.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Anymore.
Yeah. Well, thank you and welcome to Sunday Night. I'm your host, Richard K. Allison. Oh, we've got a dandy for you this evening. All the regulars are on hand. Jeff Miller and his refreshment committee, Michael Pierce Donnelly and the band and singers. And tonight, as I mentioned before, we're calling this Political Action Night. We're going to have a few things along the way that will put us in the mind to be voting here pretty soon, you know. So stay tuned. We think you're going to enjoy it. Once again, however, in our never-ending quest to bring you all the news that's a fit to print, translate it for radio and see if we can make it sound even more ridiculous than it did in the first place, we here at Sunday Night have taken on the presidential election and made it our cause celeb, our numero uno priority, our bailiwick, if you will. Sparing no expense, we have sent the one Sunday Night staff member best equipped to understand and interpret the major issues as articulated by the candidates in this presidential campaign. And here she is, freshly returned from covering the presidential campaign trail. Here she is.
Excuse me, Mr. Allison. Can you help me find my mommy?
Well, hi, honey. Yes, I tell you what, we'll work on that as soon as we get this report taken care of.
Okay, but could someone look for my mommy while I'm giving the report?
What report are you giving?
The report on a presidential campaign, of course.
You are the reporter we sent?
Why, yes, Mr. Allison. Didn't you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, you know, Mr. Allison, it sounds to me like you're losing control of the show.
Really?
Yeah. Obviously, there have been some political maneuverings taking place behind your back, and someone's after your job.
That's very interesting. What are these, by the way?
No. Those are just some flashcards.
Well, let me see. Now, these are index cards. Ah, interesting. What does this first one say here? Get ready for something different. That's what I say at the beginning of the show. What's on this one here? You're listening to Sunday Night. That's what I do when we do the cutaway. Wait, here's another one. This is Sunday Night, and I'm your host, honey.
I am merely preparing myself to step into a power vacuum in the event one develops.
I see.
I am not seeking, nor do I desire appointment as host of this show, but if the people want me, I will serve.
Honey, I think you're spending too much time on the campaign trail.
Well, politics does get in your blood.
I can see that. So you are the reporter whom we decided was uniquely qualified to understand and interpret the candidates and the issues.
Well, actually, they were going to send Sparky the Seal, but they thought that would be inhumane.
It's very wise.
I did manage to record some of the more exciting moments of the debate for those who may have missed them.
Oh, good, good.
I've arranged them in a sort of a sound collage.
All right. Well, let's hear them.
All right. First, here is each candidate answering the question, what can you do to fix the economy?
Okay, let's listen. It doesn't sound like they're saying anything at all.
That's what it seemed like to me all the time.
You now, have another one there?
Yes. Here was the audience response to the candidates after each of them described how they would lower the taxes.
Interesting.
And here was the reaction when the moderator said the debate was over. There's my mommy. Goodbye, Mr. Allison.
Goodbye, honey, and thank you for that excellent reporting job. Let's give her a hand, all right? She did great. What? Wait. Is there something?
Excuse me, Mr. Allison. Could I have my flashcards back?
Oh, sure. Sure, here you are. But hey, I wouldn't quit my day job if I were you, okay? Thank you, honey. Well, we welcome to Sunday Night for their Sunday Night premiere, the Gospel Quartet Steadfast. From right here, we can't call you a Southern Gospel Quartet. Do we call you a Northern Gospel Quartet?
Yeah. Whatever.
That's Southern Gospel style.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Wonderful to have you with us. Steadfast is, of course, this is their first time with us, and I should warn you guys, we have had people on this show that have never been heard of again. I mean, it's just... So we're sure that won't be the case with you. Would you welcome to Sunday Night, Steadfast.
No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy.
Bass.
Hey, top of the morning to you, America. It's a beautiful morning all across the spacious skies, purple mountains, fruited plain, and all those amber waves that we call this great land of ours. You're listening to the GSR Network, government-supported radio. Hey, whose bureaucracy loves you, baby? Ha ha, that's right, the good old U.S. of A. And now it's time for our moment of inspiration with host, the Reverend Major General Horace Ironside.
Good morning, America, and welcome to another moment of inspiration. I'm your host, Reverend Major General Horace Ironside, and today I'll be reading from the 23rd chapter of the Book of Psalms, taken this morning, as always, from the New Revised Party in Power version. I will begin with verse 1 of Psalm 23. The government is my shepherd. I shall want for nothing. It maketh me to lie down and wait for state aid. It leadeth me beside the waters of dependency. It identifieth my soul and giveth it a number. It guideth me in the paths of righteousness, as defined by public opinion. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy army and navy art with me. Thy high-tech reconnaissance and nuclear warheads, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table of economic sanctions and military intervention in the presence of this year's enemies. Thou fillest my vehicle with affordable oil. My revolving credit runneth over. Surely goodness and taxes will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the memory banks of thy giant computers forever.
You've been listening to the Reverend Major General Horace Ironside. Join us tomorrow for another moment of inspiration on the government-supported radio network.
Hi, we'd just like to take this special time out of the show to give you all our personal testimonies because, well, I don't know really, it's just something we always have to do for some reason, so if you have to get up or do something or whatever, now is the time. Okay, who wants to be first?
Well, I will. Okay, well, I had grown up in a Christian family, so I heard about Christianity for as long as I could remember. So when I was about 5 years old or so, my Sunday school teacher asked me if I wanted to accept Christ as my personal Savior, and I said, sure. And my life has never been the same since.
Okay, amen.
I'll go next. Okay, well, like I was a little older than him, and I was in college, and, well, I had lived a worldly life. I mean, I used to smoke and swear a lot, and I used to drink, and not just that 3-2 Minnesota stuff either, but we go to Wisconsin for the real McCoy. I mean, we get whole bands of people, my friends and guys and stuff, and we'd all go over to Wisconsin, which is really like a party state, you know? I mean, the whole place is like College City, and we'd all go partying and dancing, and you meet the best people, because it's like something is going on in every pub, and we'd be drinking and singing, and these guys from Wisconsin Stout would come over like they're going to impress us, right? And they sing their school songs, and we sing ours, and then we all go singing and dancing and whooping it up, and the fun would be really contagious every weekend.
Well, then I became a Christian, and my life has never been the same since.
Okay, amen.
Okay, I guess it's my turn. Well, I was at church camp when it happened, and there was this beautiful girl there, and, well, you could say she led me to salvation. I was a boy of 12 years old, she was a woman of 13. And if I might be e'er so bold, she was the finest that I'd seen. With eyes of blue and hair of gold, I thought she truly was the champ. She was the vamp, the vamp of Trout Lake Camp. She was the type who always won in any games or relay races. I used to dream of how the sun would be reflected in her braces. Her faults, there's only one. I know this may sound loony. Sometimes at night, in a certain kind of light, she looked just like Andy Rooney. When she played tetherball, her belly button's showing. And it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Then on the last day of the week, I had a problem. It was simple. I hadn't had the guts to speak, although I loved her every pimple. But I could no longer be meek. Tonight's the night, and I was ready. We'd meet after church. We'd waltz through the birch. Maybe kiss until we're sweaty. That night I sat there in the pew, and only she was on my mind. When she stood up to leave, I knew that I must follow close behind. So I stood too, and yes, it's true, she wasn't leaving after all. 'Cause when I looked around, everyone else was sitting down. It was just the altar call. She turned to me and gave me such a smile. Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay. Pastor Tornquist waved us down the aisle. Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay. The campers started cheering and applauded.
Thanks.
Thank heavens. They didn't know what God did. So I relented and I repented, 'cause I know where bad boys are sent. Ed? Although we had a happy start, dreams of romance began to falter. She walked away and broke my heart, which was as big as all Gibraltar. Because that doxy little tart had gone and left me at the altar. I saw the object of my charms leave the building in the arms of a counselor named Walter. The moral of this tale is odd, although it's helpful for all seasons. It's that man often comes to God for the strangest of reasons. But God's response we can applaud. He wants us all to be his lamp, even if you're the vamp.
Brookberry. Oh my. Oh. I tell you, he even messes up my microphone here. You know, there's an old saying that says politics makes strange bedfellows. In other words, when you look at the world of politics, people make alliances with folks that can seem very odd, you know, and they do that in order to get more support. Well, I have a friend in Arizona. Actually, I have a number of friends in Arizona. Les Huey is one of those friends. That's really his name. A couple of years ago, Les told me about an encounter he had had with the oddities of political alliances. He was driving down the street in Phoenix one day and happened upon a demonstration taking place. He noticed one particular person standing close to the street with an animal rights poster in one hand and a pro-abortion poster in the other hand. Les scratched his head. He couldn't resist, stopped, rolled down the window, asked, "Hey, don't you think that's a little inconsistent?" The person said, "No," and kept on walking. Les said to me, "You know, ever since that day, I've wanted to write a song that said, 'Save the whales, but kill the babies.' Sure makes sense to me." Well, that was over 2 years ago. Last year, I ran into him again, asked him if he had ever written that song. He said no. So I asked him if I could take a crack at it. He said, "Sure, go ahead." So here we are, another year after that, and finally, the song hath been written. So fasten your seatbelts. This could be a bumpy ride. And Les Huey, this is dedicated to Huey. I've been listening very close to everything I hear. There are leaders in this land of ours who have made it very clear that some things are important and some don't matter a whit. So I have made up my mind, gonna hoist aloft this protest sign. I shouldn't brag, but it's my own design, and this is what I writ. Save a porpoise, save a mink, save a redwood-covered mount. Give your life for the spotted owl, but Peter says don't count. Now don't shoot wolves or little seals, all creatures should be free.
will save the whales but kill the babies. Sure makes sense to me. People always have a choice, but animals do not. It is our responsibility to see that they ain't shot, or slashed, or beat, or slaughtered. They are precious in God's sight. So you and I must do our job to tell Aunt Tilly and Uncle Bob that fetuses are just a blob, but animals have rights. Oh, save a porpoise, save a mink, save a redwood-covered mount. Give your life for the spotted owl, but fetus says don't count. Don't shoot wolves or little seals, all creatures should be free. So save the whales, but kill the babies, sure makes sense to me. Remember, when you eat a steak, it's some calf's dad or mother. And when you eat that Tom Thanksgiving Day, it's some poor gobbler's brother. And for every tuna salad, some poor porpoise bought the farm. But a fetus don't deserve a chance. It can spoil plans and squash romance. And when you're 8 months along, it's hard to dance. So raise a strong alarm. Oh, save a porpoise, save a mink, save a redwood-covered mount. Give your life to the spotted owl, but fetus says don't count. Don't shoot wolves or little seals, all creatures should be free. So save the whales, but kill the babies, sure makes sense to me. Hey, you want a sign like this? I can get it for you wholesale.
Hey, there's lots more to come on this edition of Sunday Night, so stay with us. But first,
we're Dave
and Al,
and we serve popcorn at Sunday Night.
And you're listening to Sunday Night.
Thank you, and welcome back. You're listening to Sunday Night. I'm your host, Richard K. Allison. Have some letters here. You know, you can write to us. Did you know that? We try to remind you every chance we get. Our address here is Sunday Night, 3003 North Snelling Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55113. I'll give you that address again in just a minute. But let me read you a couple of letters. These are just amazing letters to us, because we just think in terms of the radio stations that are broadcasting us here in this country. Listen to these. We were listening to a tape of a rebroadcast of your program at home here in Taegu, Korea. We only have two old tapes, but we love them. That's from John Moe and his family. Here's some folks who send copies of the tape to their sister and her family on the mission field in Nigeria. They love it too. They say they listen to the tapes over and over. It's their sole source of entertainment as they live in the bush country with the Fulani people. Isn't that amazing? And here's a very moving letter. I've been going through some tough times lately, this fellow writes. I'm leaving for Korea for 1 year, and my best friend here just died in Germany. This fellow's in the army, by the way. Well, I was sitting in my room, depressed one night, playing tapes, when I ran across your program. I haven't opened up and laughed so hard in over a year. Thanks for being there when I needed you. Well, bless your heart. I mean, that's just, we thank the Lord for that. We praise Him, because you just never know. But God does. That's the neat thing about it. If you'd like to write to us, we'd love to hear from you. Just write to Sunday Night, 3003 North Snelling Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55113. Hello and welcome to What is a Sin? Confused about where to draw the line between right and wrong? Then call Dr. Holly Starling, a radio's resident Miss Manners of the ethical airwaves. If anyone knows sin, it's Dr. Starling.
Thank you. Good evening. Let's go right ahead with our first caller. Hello, this is Dr. Starling. How can I help you?
I'm Kevin Gumphy, and I live in Duluth.
Hello, Kevin. No, that's not a sin.
Well, thanks. I have a different question, though. It's about gambling. You see, there's the football pool at work, and they bet on football games. Every week, each employee puts $5 into an envelope, and the person who guesses the most correct football scores gets to keep the kitty. Now, I never do it, but this week I know Detroit is going to beat Tampa Bay, and the 49ers could never beat Los Angeles, and I have to go with the Vikes, so I figure why not? Is it a sin to bet when I know I can't lose?
Kevin, not only is it a sin, it's crazy! L.A. has no running game, and their defensive backs can't blitz to save their souls! You'd be throwing your money away! You want a nice kitty? Go to the animal shelter. Next caller, please.
Hi, I'm Brenda, and I know that James 1:9 says that we should be slow to speak and slow to anger, but what if someone is slow to anger and quick to be whiny? I mean, say someone is having a bad hair day and they just found out they gained a lot of weight, or they're tired of being compared to someone their date used to go out with, you know, and they get kind of, well, irritable?
Brenda, honey, that's not a sin. That's called PMS. God invented it, so He can't blame you for doing what comes naturally.
But, Dr. Starling, it's not me. It's my boyfriend who's whiny.
Oh. Well, then it's a sin. And frankly, you can do better than the big baby, Brenda. Dump him like a cold fish and then throw your net on the other side of the boat. Tell Chubby that God calls us to be fishers of men, if you catch my drift. Next caller.
Hello, Dr. Starling. My name is Norm.
Hello, Norm.
Is it a sin if I tell a lie to my wife?
This is a joke, right?
No, I mean, I know it's a sin, but what if it's her birthday, see, and I always forget her birthday?
So you told her you didn't forget her birthday?
Well, no, I told her I did.
So you told her the truth?
No, I told her a lie. I didn't forget her birthday this time. I got all her friends together and we're having a surprise party next Saturday. I told her I was spending her birthday at a bowling alley.
This brings up an interesting point. Can you sin for a good cause? When do the means justify the ends? I think it's good that we settle this big question once and for all. Can we really call stuff like this a sin?
Well?
Sin, 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 sin! Whoa, I love this job. Whoa. It's a sin. A sin as sin can be. There.
Now, how can it be a sin, though? Sure, it was wrong, but my wife won't care once she finds out the truth.
That's what Woody Allen said about Mia Farrow. Don't kid yourself, Norm. What would you think if you found out God was lying to us?
I'd be appalled.
Even if it was for a good reason?
Gee, a sin is a sin. You're right.
It happens. I'm a doctor. For next time, Norm, here's a tip. Have a third party set up the surprise. That way you don't have to worry about compromising yourself if the wife gets nosy.
I did that. My wife's best friend. But she lied too, told my wife the same thing.
You caused another to stumble. Norm, Norm, Norm. Remember, the road to Hades was paved with guys like you. Get off at the next exit, Norm, before it's too late. Next caller.
Hello, I'm Helen Spengler, and I'm a Democrat.
Yes, that's a sin. Next caller.
Hi. Hi, my office also has a football pool, and I have a question. Who do you pick between the Broncos and Pittsburgh?
Next caller. Hello.
Hello. If you suspect your husband is running off with another woman, is that a sin?
This is really turning out to be a lively evening. Have you been listening?
No. I just got home. I've been driving all over town just thinking.
Talk to me. What's your name?
Ruth.
Ruth, go ahead.
Oh, it's my mean, they've been talking on the phone a lot recently, and I should have thought something. But now this Saturday they're actually going on a date. Together, they're going bowling. And get this, it's my birthday.
Oh, boy.
I mean, he's forgotten my birthday. I expect that, the little squirt. But Doctor, my best friend, she doesn't even like bowling. What am I going to do?
Hang on. The little squirt wouldn't happen to be called Norm, would he?
Why, yes. Yes, he is.
Ladies and gentlemen in Radioland, here is a prime example of the dangers of a quote-unquote harmless sin ruining your lives and finding you out.
Dr. Starling, what are you saying? Do you know something I don't?
I know your husband lied to you. He isn't having an affair. He isn't going bowling on your birthday, and neither is your best friend. I think it's about time someone cleared this up once and for all.
Someone's at the door for you.
Coming. Just a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay, but I can't hold on to this phone.
No, this is Norm down on the downstairs phone. What are you doing? You can't tell her about the surprise.
The jig is up, Norm.
But your Aunt Minnie is coming all the way from Spokane. She's 89. It'll break her heart.
I have a PhD in ethics, and I can't...
We've been planning this for months. You can't give it away now.
Sorry, but a sin is a sin.
I'm sorry I ever called. I wish I just kept my big mouth shut.
Well, you don't have to feel that way. Aunt Minnie is 89.
She's coming by train. It's costing Minnie her savings. You can't.
Gee whiz. I know, but what am I going to say?
Say something.
Hello?
Shh.
There was no one at the door. Now, what about Norm? If they're not going bowling, then what are they doing?
It's a secret.
What? Well, why can't you tell me?
I just can't. They won't let me.
Who?
Oh, Lord, forgive me.
Who? Who won't let you?
The CIA.
What?
What?
Yes. Norm and your best friend are really top secret agents of the CIA. I'm their superior, and we're all on a special mission of national security.
To the bowling alley?
It only looks like a bowling alley. It's really a cover-up for an international weapons smuggling ring, and your husband is going to break it wide open. That's all I can say.
Thank heavens for that. Holy cow.
Really? Norm, are you there? Is it true? I thought you were afraid of guns.
Oh.
Afraid of guns? This man is the best shot in the service.
What?
He should tell you about the time he took out those Iranian gunmen. Oh.
Doctor, come on!
Tell me, Norm!
Well, there were a couple of Iranians, sure. No big deal. But...
Oh, what a day. First my marriage is a sham, then my husband and friend are spies. Then I find out my brother is a criminal.
Her brother?
He owns the bowling alley.
Oops.
Honey, I'm going out. I'll be gone a while.
Where are you going?
Driving, thinking. Then I'm going to call my Aunt Minnie. Gee, this has been my worst birthday ever.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Thanks for nothing, Doctor! Now, this is the worst birthday she's ever had! You've made my life worse than ever! International spy? Iranian governor? Are you nuts? Aunt Minnie's gonna have a grand mal seizure! What kind of crackpot doctor are you, anyway? Well, you have you right here, I'd knock your PhD into the next century, and then I would...
Next caller.
Yeah, is it a sin if you tear that little tag off the bottom of your mattress?
Okay, that's all the time we have today. Good night. Oh, what a night.
Tune in next week for another episode of What is a Sin
is
with
it?
Dr. Holly Starling.
Hello?
If anyone knows
Hello,
sin,
doctor?
It's her. Sojourner, ready to sing for us.
Right.
A trio now. Now, what is your name?
Nancy Soderstrom.
Nancy, could you introduce the rest of the group to us?
This is Glenn Larson playing guitar, mm-hmm. and Matt Wagner.
Okay, well, it's good to meet you. It's good to have you here. How would you describe the style of what you do?
Well, we sing gospel music, but the style is sort of a blend of folk and jazz. We really like a lot of tight harmonies in our music. We kind of fight over who has to sing melody and who gets to sing harmony.
Oh, that's sweet. Now, so I wasn't too far off when I said jazz, folk, amalgamated,
that's,
whatever
that's
it was
just
that
right.
I said.
We kind of like that phrase.
All right. All right. What are you going to sing for us this evening?
A song called Hide Me in Your Holiness.
This is Sojourner. Once upon a time, there was a wonderful little town. It was a wonderful place to live, a wonderful place to work, to raise a family, a wonderful place to dream. There was something about the town that made anyone who visited say, ah, now this is how it should be. The sky was a deep blue. The lawns were a rich green. The stop signs were bright red. In fact, everything in the town was exactly the color it should have been. Every speed limit was exactly right and was strictly observed and obeyed. If anyone asked how far it was from, say, City Hall to the Robinson Farm out on State Highway 7, no one ever said, oh, I'd say about a mile, mile and a half. Oh, no. Distances were precisely figured out, and no one ever questioned it. Anyone you'd ask would say, the Robinson Farm is exactly 1 mile and 3/10 from the City Hall. It's not that people were without imagination or above having some fun. In fact, Tori Johansson was one of the most notorious rib nudgers in town. When asked how far it was to the Robinson Farm from City Hall, Mr. Johansson might answer, 1 mile and 3/10. Or he might say, well, now that depends on whether you're going to stay on the established roadways or cut through a yard or two. In fact, if you take a pass through the Pendersons' dining room on 14th Street, you can lop off a whole tenth of a mile. Now, the joking was always good-natured, of course, no matter who was doing it. But no one ever tried to pass off the joke as the truth. Oh, no. The farm was 1 mile and 3/10 from City Hall, and that was that. And then one day an incident occurred that at the moment seemed small and unimportant. However, in time, it would radically alter the life in this wonderful little town and would change many of its inhabitants forever. What was this seemingly forgettable happening? Someone laughed at Tori Johansson. Now, up to this point, many people had laughed with Tori Johansson, but no one had ever laughed at him, laughed derisively, as if he was the biggest fool they had ever met. No, no one had ever done that. And the strange thing was that Mr. Johansson had not even been joshing or telling a joke. This is what happened, as nearly as we can reconstruct the events of that fateful day. A traveling salesman had stopped him outside City Hall and asked, "How far is it from here to the Robinson Farm?" And of course, you know what Tori Johansson said. He proudly announced, "It's exactly 1.3 miles. And the salesman laughed. He laughed at Mr. Johansson. He said, "You know, old man, it really don't matter how far it is exactly. We ain't living in the kind of world where exact is important no more. You need to lighten up." And he hopped into his car and, laughing heartily, rolled out of town. Mr. Johansson was confused. He felt the need to share his experience with a fellow citizen. So he headed on over to the general store owned by Gladys and Harvey Tamarack. Gladys was minding the store. Harvey had driven into the big city that morning to check on a new line of garden tools and wouldn't be back till supper. So Tori Johansson began to tell his story to Gladys, but before he got very far, a customer came in, a new woman he had never seen before. So he politely moved away from the counter and listened to the conversation.
"Hello, may I help you?" "Thank you, yes. Could I please have a couple yards of that green material on the top shelf?"
"Green material? You mean this?"
Gladys was pointing to a bolt of green satin on the middle shelf.
"No, no, on the top shelf."
"This one?"
"Yes, I said the green on the top shelf. How much plainer could I be?"
Gladys pulled down the bolt of navy blue denim from the top shelf.
"2 yards, then?"
"That should be fine."
"And this is the cloth and the color you want?"
"Yes."
The stranger was becoming impatient. Gladys was more than a little confused, and Tori Johansson couldn't believe his ears. He kept waiting for Gladys to say something like, "Hey, dummy, this denim is as blue as the sky God made. What's the matter with you?" But she didn't say any such thing. She cut off 2 yards of the denim, bagged it, collected her money, and bid the lady a good day.
"What's the matter with you?" Mr. Johansson cried. "That material was blue, not green."
"Oh, Tori, don't fuss so. I suppose a person has a right to call a color anything they want."
"They do?"
"Why, of course. What difference can it make after all? The important thing is that we live together in peace."
Mr. Johansson left the shop shaking his head. First the salesman, then this. What was going on? The next morning's newspaper answered that question. Headline: Gladys Tamarack injured in car wreck. Mrs. Gladys Tamarack, owner of the general store with her husband Harvey, was seriously injured after running a stop sign late yesterday. Police say Mrs. Tamarack didn't stop at the sign because, quote,
"I decided the sign was yellow, not red, and so I didn't have to stop."
She went on to say something about a person having a right to call a color anything they want before lapsing into a coma. The car that hit her was being driven by her husband, Harvey, who was on his way home from a trip to the big city. $500 worth of garden tools were also damaged. Headline: Robinson Farm doubles in size. Hector Robinson announced at City Hall yesterday that he has decided to double the size of his farm on State Highway 7.
I've always wanted a 200-acre farm, but could only afford a 100-acre farm. So I've decided to cut the size of an acre in half, call that half acre a whole acre instead, and double the size of my farm that way.
As he got into his Ford pickup, which he now describes as a Lincoln Town Car, he was heard to say something like,
"You know, it really don't matter how big it is exactly. We ain't living in the kind of world where exact is important no more."
Headline: Salesman sells local school new curriculum.
Hammer Turnkey, Director of Sales for Educational Resources Anonymous, sold the local school system a new and innovative curriculum yesterday. The approach to each traditional course of study is revolutionary and is guaranteed to prepare our children for life in the 21st century. All the subjects are here, says Mr. Turnkey, but the approach is different. We want to encourage your young people to think for themselves. Math, for instance, does not grade the student on whether they give the right answer or not. No, achievement is measured by how good they feel about the work they have done. Geography doesn't follow the old map tradition. Rather, children are encouraged to arrange the world in a way that's most comfortable for them. In history, if a certain event or personage is offensive to them, they are free to rip that page out of their books entirely. When asked if he had any advice for parents in this fast-paced, ever-changing world, Mr. Turnkey said, "Don't say no to your child, even if they're wrong. Because after all, who's to say they're wrong? Maybe according to the way you were brought up, they are, but we're living in a different world today. It ain't the kind of world where exact or right or wrong is important no more." Mr. Johansson finished reading, quietly folded his newspaper, got up from his chair, put on his hat and coat, and walked out of the house. He has never been seen again.
Against the fire that burns the city, against the raging of a counterfeit tide, against the power that reigns in this hour, that locks out the peace that it pretends to provide. Against the river that leads to a free fall, to be a lifeline to an ocean of peace. Against the poison that tastes like cool water, but burns like an acid when it reaches the soul. Out there, who will stand? Ooh, who will stand
for the rights of the Creator over the rights of the created? Knowing the one in you is greater than the those who thought that he came just to condemn will stand for the cross and stand for the lost, will stand for the only one who stood up for them. Well, I tell you that
I will.
Now tell me, will you?
joining us tonight. Our technical director here at Sunday Night is Travis Ludwig. He's also helping out in the house this evening with Chris Wilde. Kurt Olson and Paul Soikkonen are over in our radio engineers tonight. Stage manager is Kent Hannestad. Kerry Baker and Tim Perry take care of our auditorium. Brooke Berry, guest writer tonight, thanks to the New American Standard Band and singers, including Karen Deers and Lisa LeMahieu. The Refreshment Committee, Paul Arneberg, Angie Gislason, and Mary Miller. Judy Hannestad is the associate producer of Sunday Night. Paul Ramsier is the executive producer. Michael Pierce Donnelly is our music director. Co-creative director Jeffrey S. Miller. Thanks to our guests tonight, Steadfast Quartet, Sojourner, Brooke Berry, and Don Malley. Thanks, Don. You're a honey. I'm Richard K. Allison. Say, get out there. Do your job. Vote soon. And join us next week, will you? Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this special rebroadcast of the Sunday Night Radio program. Hope you enjoyed the show. You know, these shows were originally produced live before a studio audience in Maranatha Hall on the campus of Northwestern College in St. Paul and then broadcast across the nation on the Skylight Satellite Network. They were originally broadcast and produced in the late 80s and early 90s, and production ended in 1994. Well, we found some of the old shows in the archives, and so for the summer here on Faith Radio, we're bringing them back as a summer radio weekend special. And I invite you to make plans to listen in for another installment of Sunday Night next Sunday afternoon at 4 on Faith Radio, and tell your friends about it as well. If you go to our website, faithradionet.com, you'll find a show page for Sunday Night. There are a few pictures and some comments about the show and the performers. And we won't be posting any of the full shows as podcasts, but you will find a few excerpts and highlights from some of these creative performances, skits like The Church Secretary, Missionaries in Space, special guests such as Honey and Bob Stromberg. So watch for added material as the summer goes on at our website, faithradionet.com. Well, the show is hosted by the late Richard K. Allison, of course, Mike Donnelly and New American Standard Band, and our neighbor Bob Stromberg, all part of the broadcast. I hope that you enjoy it. And again, tell your friends and join us next weekend for another hour of music, mayhem, and some meaningful stuff, too, here on Sunday Night. And we'll continue it right through Labor Day weekend. Again, you'll find some details on our website, faithradionet.com. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio.